The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Looks like you're going to get a chance to meet the rest of the family. My psychotic brother just escaped.
I just don't want to spoil things.
Anybody else need more turkey?
No, I'm pretty good, thanks.
I don't like to talk about my brother. He gives me nightmares.
I mean, it is Thanksgiving.
You know, somebody ought to tell him to get inside. Nobody should be out with my brother around.
He looked exactly like Terry, except he had this really wild, crazed look in his eyes.
A real sweetheart, you know that? A real sweetheart.
It's not cranberry sauce, Artie. It's not cranberry sauce.
Welcome to They Call This a Movie, testing the strength of friendships one terrible movie at a time. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and other podcast services by searching They Call This a Movie. We are part of the Main Damie Network, and to find more from us, check out the website themaindamie.com or on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at themaindamie. We are also now a proud member of Geek Fives Nation. You can find them at gvnation.com. Welcome back to They Call This a Movie. This is Anthony Del Vecchio. With me, as always, is Dan Aquino and Mark Meyer. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello. In honor of the holiday coming up, quick question for both of you guys. Cake or pie, and why is it?
Oh, I'm always a big cake fan.
Are you talking about cake on Thanksgiving?
I was just making a dessert joke, to be honest.
I don't get it, but you don't eat cake on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I'm a big cake fan. I would always enjoy cake, but yeah, Thanksgiving is a time for pie. I think pie kind of owns that day.
Yeah. You let cake have birthdays. Right. This is
retirement
pie.
Parties.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the time, cake rules supreme. But with pie, you get Christmas, I feel, and Thanksgiving. Those are pie holidays.
Yeah.
Or, you know, cake can have that one day when that woman in the office gets fired that everyone hates.
And you can just Jesus.
Celebrate.
You work in some really cutthroat offices there, Mark.
It's been a rough work week. Sorry.
Well, I think anyway. Mark is planning on doing that, it sounds like. He has a sheet cake ordered from the grocery store.
Icing ready and ready to go. It's for whichever one of the people in my office.
It's like, bye, bitch. Susan, we all got you something. Like, bye, bitch. Oh, no. See ya. And you keep the cake. You don't even let it happen.
If I'm quiet, it's because I'm writing down all these ideas.
Well, it is. So when we air this episode, it will be Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And enjoy your pie, but don't enjoy your cake. But before we get into this week's movie, what have you guys been watching?
Oh, shit. I forgot we do that. We watched Queen's Gambit. That was really good. We finished Cobra Kai. First season was really good. Second season was okay. I enjoyed it. But I just want to see Johnny Lawrence being like an old drunk. I don't want to see kids with mohawks fighting puny kids. You know, it's really not fun. I just want to see Johnny Lawrence go. I know I watched another movie. I can't remember, though. So I'm just going to let it go. If I think of it, I'll come back.
All right. Mark, what about you?
Yeah, so nothing this week, but I will say, hearing all the talk about Queen's Gambit, I'm probably going to check that out while we have some time off during the holidays. So probably whatever episode we record, that'll happen next week. You'll probably hear about that. It's definitely on my list. I've heard it from folks even outside of you, from other groups of like old college friends and stuff, talking it up. So, you know, I feel like I got to at least check out the first episode or so.
Well, I really haven't watched much this week. I've watched one thing. I watched RoboCop. That's
it. I wanted to make that my next movie, but I can't, apparently.
Next week is Christmas.
I'm being denied.
Yeah, because Amazon Prime just put up RoboCop 1, 2, and 3 on Prime. So
I have a good friend. When we reviewed The Running Man, he messaged me and he said, "That's the best podcast I've ever listened to. You guys are amazing. You make Joe Rogan look like shit." I was like, "Oh, dude, thank you. You know, I appreciate
it."
That's
not hard, but.
But he said he liked The Running Man, so he said, "Have you done RoboCop yet?" So I said, "No, but if it does show up, I would do it." So hopefully it's still there in 2021. So that would be my next pick after Christmas.
Yeah, I feel like that's a Christmas gift for us. To be able to watch and review RoboCop, because it's so good.
I love
RoboCop. It's probably too good for this podcast, but every so often we do break the rules a little bit. It's genre-y enough that we can do that. You know,
you can always watch RoboCop 3. We wanted.
That's
to...
true. RoboCop 3 is there. We could do a whole RoboCop 2. We could do a RoboCop episode, just 1, 2, and 3, supersized.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, maybe. But who knows? Who knows what 2021 will bring? Perhaps the sun will explode.
I was going to say, Amazon Prime might not even be a thing in 2021.
I'm getting Mark's hopes up. It's going to go in the day before Joe Biden announces that student loan forgiveness.
Right. It's going to be him. He's like getting ready to pens get touching down to the paper.
Yep.
Everything just explodes.
Oh, that scenario is a win-win either way.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. If we die, we don't have to pay student loans anyway. So
yeah, that's a way to look at it.
We're looking good.
So as we said, this is Thanksgiving. The reason why Mark went last week. So he went twice in 3 weeks because I had this movie all queued up, ready for Thanksgiving. Little backstory. I had watched this originally for the first time back in 2017, I want to say, for 31 Days of Horror. And then I forgot to review it. And then the next year, I saw it on Amazon Prime again. And I said, "Oh, this movie looks interesting. I'll watch it." And then it took me 10 minutes to realize, wait a minute, I've totally seen this movie already. I just completely forgot to review it the first time. But yeah, this movie is called, in some circles, it's called Blood Rage. In other circles, it's called Slasher. In other circles, it's called Nightmare at Shadow Woods. But Blood Rage, guys, where are you coming from with Blood Rage?
I thought I was watching the wrong movie here because it popped up as Slasher. But I was too lazy to change it. So I was like, yeah, well, I'm either watching the right movie or I'm going to be reviewing something completely different with Mark and Anthony. This movie I've never seen before. I've never even heard of it. This movie started off, Jen and I were both watching him like, "This is so stupid. I hate this." And then it just turned into morbid fascination. Like, "Oh, what is he going to do next? Oh my God, I can't believe he did that." So I'm not mad that I watched this.
The entire time I was watching it, I was like, is the name of the movie the only clue you get why he goes insane? Like, because I see no other trigger at any point. Most horror movies have a trigger for why, some kind of little backstory, but he just finds a hatchet and then kills a guy in a car. So I guess that's a better descriptor than just calling it Slasher. Or maybe they were just worried about SEO all the way back then. But anyway, this movie is right on towing that line for me in terms of movies that I really like in the horror genre. You know, it's kind of stupid and campy. It's enough great practical effects that it doesn't make me roll my eyes when it's too much CGI or anything. The deaths are hilarious, which is always a thing on the top of my list for a horror movie. I don't come at it so much for the scares as I want to be able to cackle out loud at one point. This movie had everything. I honestly wish it had more Thanksgiving. I don't know what that means. It's...
Needs more Thanksgiving, damn it.
Yeah.
At least more cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
It was cranberry sauce.
Not cranberry sauce.
That's not cranberry sauce. Like, God damn it.
To show you how fascinating this movie is. So I was saying Jen and I were watching it and she immediately just was like, "This is stupid. Why are we watching this?" And in the span of maybe 10 minutes, she just started rattling off question after question after question. Why is he doing it this way? Why is the mother so useless? Why are they going for a swim? I was like, what? I don't know the answers to this. I'm just as confused as you are.
I love these types of movies. Yeah. They're so wild. This and Pieces, which we covered during 31 Days of Horror, are very similar in just the ridiculousness.
So it's funny you mentioned that, Ant. Last night I did a podcast with Juwan for Geek Vibes Live, and the other guest was Christopher, and I believe he does a wrestling podcast. And at the end, they're like, yeah, we gotta get on to They Call This Movie. You guys have been doing really well. And the one guy, Chris, said he wished how he could have been on the review for Pieces with us. So I said, Well, if you like that one, prepare yourself for the new movie that we're going to review, because it's pretty much like right in the same lane as Pieces.
Yes. This movie, everybody is 115%. And the mother is at 190%.
she blew my mind.
She's in her own Tennessee Williams play.
That's probably the best way to describe that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's definitely doing... She's in another realm, and it's baffling. It really is baffling.
She's doing Streetcar.
One of Jen's questions was, how come every time they snap back to her, she's doing absolutely nothing?
She is completely useless. She spends 45 minutes on the phone, either to the operator or on hold or just letting the phone ring, when the guy she's calling is 100 yards away from her.
Oh, yeah, it's like two doors down or something. Yeah. I thought this was like, they have to have made two different movies and then just spliced it together. This was a day in the life sort of thing going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The one guy wrote one story, someone else wrote another, and this is, they just, it was a disgusting amalgamation of it.
Yeah, it's like somebody's off-Broadway play, and then they're like, well, we've got like 40 pages of good stuff here. What if we just write 30 more pages of slasher movie, and we'll just fill in the pieces there?
I mean, it starts off baffling where they're out at a drive-in movie and it's all teenagers, but then you have like a 50-year-old mom hooking up with like a 30-year-old like Lothario guy. He's got the creepy mustache going.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, hold on. Like, why did they have to get an older lady to do this?
Yeah, it's like they tried to make her look 35 and it just did not work.
No. It was the outfit choices are poor, to say the least. At first I thought it was just a bad makeup job. Like, oh, like she's probably younger, but it's just like the makeup makes her look older. Mm-hmm. Like, no.
You could say that about a lot of people in this movie, though.
Yes.
The 20-somethings look 35.
Yeah. It's I don't know what this movie was, but it was fun. Strange, but very fun.
Yeah, it had a lot of the stereotypical slasher archetypes in this, for sure. And I started figuring them out near the end that it was going to go that route instead of do something wild. But the guy playing the twins was just made me laugh every time he was on screen. Just the choices he made to distinguish himself between the two twins was like, was that his choice? Or the director was like, no, you just need to be like, let's dial the creep factor up like 6 on this guy and about 4 on the other guy. But one scene, your hair will be back and the other one, it'll be forward. And everybody will be like, ooh, it's two different people.
I will say, he definitely does feel like he's playing two different parts.
Yes,
he does. But the one character, the main character that he plays is like leaps and bounds more interesting than the brother, the mute brother. Yeah. I'll tell you what, he gives the guy from Garbage Day. What's that movie?
Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2.
Yes, he gives that guy a real run for his money in terms of just over the top psycho.
Yeah.
At one point towards the end, he's walking around with the machete, just laughing to himself.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought to myself, that's the same guy, right? From Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2. He's just walking around shooting.
And then when he starts playing with the corpses, and it's just,
oh, it's so fun. It's so funny.
I thought you were fun. After he touches her with the dead man's hand,
this he makes some like weird choices, and like at times all of a sudden he's hooking up with his girlfriend, then he wants to kill her for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
But she has the virgin plot armor, so
I guess I don't know. His neighbor wants to hook up with him, but he's a good dude. He's not cheating on his girlfriend.
Yeah, but he wants to watch TV.
Right. What's on the tube? That part, it's like my favorite line in the movie. Wonder what's on the tube.
What do you major in? Partying?
Yeah. Oh, God. Shouldn't that line of dialogue be the other way around? Yeah. It should be the guy saying that to the girl. Yeah. Right? Man.
He's a weirdo, though. He drinks milk at Thanksgiving dinner.
And tomato juice, right? Just straight up tomato juice. He probably loves like gazpacho or something like that. It's tomato soup, ice cold.
So basically, Blood Rage, if you haven't seen it, it's pretty simple plot. These two kids, when they're young, they're twins, they're at a drive-in movie theater, and one of them kills some random dude that he comes across that's fucking in the car next to them with a hatchet. And then the kid pins it on his other brother who saw it. Right. So he like smears blood on him, hands him the hatchet, and pins it all on his brother.
Yeah, he does it by pulling the Eddie Guerrero. Wipes the blood, hands on the weapon, goes, "Oh my God, look what he did."
So he does that. And then 15 years later, the brother that they pinned it on has spent his entire life up until that point in a mental institution. And he breaks out on Thanksgiving Day. And then the prospect of being face to face with his brother that he pinned the murder on sets this guy off to go on a murderous rampage all over again. So it's a thing of basically one brother that's been accused of murder coming back to pin it all on the one that did it, and the other one that did it going crazy and starting killing everybody. Pretty simple plot. It's like your standard 80s slasher movie, but it's wild, man. There are so many just moments, again, with the mom. As we're saying off air, Mark, there's a scene where she's just funneling food down her throat, just sitting like
in front of the refrigerator,
laid right in front of the refrigerator.
It's my favorite scene in the movie.
And then she doesn't know what to do with herself, so she starts drinking wine while she vacuums in the middle of the night. It's all over the place, man. It's great. I love it.
At one point, she really should have just been like, the scene when she's vacuuming, she should have looked at the camera and just said, "Oh, didn't see you there. Welcome to the show."
Everybody plays this movie as if they're struggling through acting because they're pulling back on a nervous breakdown that they're currently having while on set. And she is the epitome of that energy. So Blood Rage from 1987 is directed by John Grismer. Directed one other movie, Scalpel, 10 years prior to this. It stars Louise Lasser, Mark Soper, Julie Gordon, Jane Benson, Marianne Cantor, James Farrell, Chad Montgomery, Lisa Randall, William Fuller, Douglas Weiser, with a cameo by Ted Raimi.
It was Ted Raimi. Okay.
Yeah. He plays the guy selling condoms in the beginning.
With pins in them.
Yeah.
Not very effective.
Has an IMDb score of 5.8 and no Rotten Tomatoes score. Just a little couple of things. This was shot in 1983, so it was 4 years prior to the movie being released, and it was shot in Jacksonville, Florida, but was not released until 1987. The initial theatrical run was under the name Blood Rage, eventually changed to Nightmare at Shadow Woods, and at some point it was called Slasher. And I could not find any budget or box office numbers, but I don't think it did much in the box office. I don't think it was there very long.
That makes sense. This movie had very Florida energy.
Yes. Yep. There is one scene that is shot in Hazlitt, New Jersey.
Ooh.
The opening drive-in. The drive-in scene. The drive-in theater was Route 35 Drive-In in Hazlitt, New Jersey, which closed in 1991. This movie is great.
Yes.
Yeah. It's one of the more surprisingly good finds.
Yeah. I think I prefer pieces, but this one's pretty...
Off-brand Steve Guttenberg is not in this movie, so...
That's true. The sexy factor is dialed way down.
Yeah. There's limited sexiness in here. There is people fucking on a diving board. We'll give them that.
No. They're laying on top of each other.
Yeah,
on
that's not fucking. That's not my fucking.
It was like as if an alien shot a sex scene and was told what human sex was like.
It's called foreplay, you assholes.
Take your time, damn it.
They didn't know that they were going to get macheted.
That's the Tommy Wiseau special right there.
This movie does prove a good point. Buy ourselves a machete.
Yes.
If you're the killer, sure. Yeah, you want the machete. But no one else even tries to defend themselves in this movie.
It's true. Nobody really does.
No.
Yeah, there's only one that you find out tried to defend themselves after the killing when they go back to the body. I don't know if you guys noticed that, if it was a bad edit when they went back to the doctor and she had a gun in her hand.
Oh, that was a trank gun.
Yeah.
Oh, she doesn't do. She just makes weird faces at the camera, though.
Yeah.
While she's still in two pieces.
That was a surprising shot.
Yeah.
Was God, the scene had like a bunch of top five quality scenes of things we've watched in 2020.
And the brother trying to put the body back together. That was phenomenal. Why didn't you run?
I 100% hope that was ad-libbed.
Like, I know he was in a mental hospital, but I'm pretty sure he realizes he can't stitch her back together there.
Just the sheer fact that the only direction from the director is just like, you just got to be grieving this person's death, but you don't really know how to grieve.
No, go. He had no clue.
Trying to put the body back together.
I tried to tell you. It's just that the choices that were made are very unique. I'll say that.
Definitely. You want to get into the plot?
Yeah, let's do it. Sure.
All right. Dan, what do you got?
All right, guys. So as you know, I like to plug our friend Tia and her podcast, The Top 10 with Tia. It's a weekly podcast. Tia and her friends get together and they discuss top 10 lists. So you could follow her on Twitter at TC_Stark. She also has a GoFundMe page going on right now. Go check that out. I believe she has it on her Twitter, but her family befell some hard times. Just if you have a chance to help her out, that's great, or just pass it along. It's very much appreciated. She's super sweet. She's very funny. She writes articles for Geek Vibes Nation, and she's a good friend of ours. So go check her out and give her a listen and do what you can.
Yeah, I also believe she has an interview with the Russo brothers coming out, if it hasn't already, really? Which I guess this is a week from now. So
good for her. She's very hardworking. Like I said, super sweet.
Yeah, and we're going to take a quick break, but before we do, we're going to take a minute to listen to some friends of the podcast, so we will be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Steve.
And this is Adam.
And we're part of the Hop Nation USA podcast.
Pittsburgh's number 3 craft beer podcast.
Join us every Friday for new beer reviews.
We'll talk about the news, history, and homebrewing.
Plus, we'll sit down with the best brewers and industry personalities that'll have us.
So whether you're a casual drinker, a hazy boy hophead,
or even if you're a whale-hunting cellar hoarder,
just search Hop Nation USA on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher and join the nation.
Oh, hi. Didn't see you there. It's me, George, from the Best Little Horror House in Philly, the show where we talk about the best horror movie ever made, according to our guest, at least. We've talked about groundbreaking classics like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Alien, but we've also got a lot of great ones coming up, including some very fun guests like Len Kabaczynski of Swamp Zombies and Red Letter Media fame, Caroline Williams, the star of Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, and Chase Williamson from John Dies at the End. So make sure you're subscribed to the Best Little Horror House in Philly, and I'll see you boils and ghouls over there.
And welcome back, and now it's time to get into the plot for Blood Rage. We open 1974 in Jacksonville, Florida. As I mentioned, this was actually filmed at the Route 35 Drive-In Theater in Hazlitt, New Jersey, which closed in 1991. Then we get an opening title card, which is very confusing, because it says it's the movie Slasher and not Blood Rage, but trust us, we watched the movie Blood Rage. We then follow around a few patrons buying popcorn and other concessions, follow one of them into the bathroom, and he buys condoms from Ted Raimi. We eventually settle on a middle-aged couple making out in the front seat of their car, with two boys asleep in the back seat.
Guys, remember movie theaters.
There's still a drive-in theater in South Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Then two boys wake up, see their mom making out with the man as if she was like a 20-year-old, decide to sneak out of the back. One of them grabs a hatchet out of the bed of the truck and then sneaks off to watch a couple fuck in the back seat.
Do you remember, did we cover the movie, was it like Witchboard?
We didn't. Both you and I watched that this past month.
That's right. Okay, we both watched it. I think you reviewed it for The Main Damie, right?
Yep.
So do you remember the main character was a construction worker, correct?
Yes.
He had that same hatchet slash hammer, did he not?
Right. It became a huge thing in that movie.
Right. Like, was that a thing? Is that an actual tool that people used?
I guess so.
Like, yeah. I
love the Witchboard.
That's the super deadliest weapon, like tool, that just people walked around with ever.
Right? My assumption would be, could that have been like a tool for, I don't remember actually the size of it in this movie, and I didn't watch that other one. But is that like one, something that like a rock climber would have to like cut a rope if needed?
So in Witchboard, it was specifically used to cut a rope.
Yeah.
and murdered that dude, which was one of the funniest deaths I saw this past month. Just a sheetrock just fall straight on a dude who's like taking a snooze on the job.
Yeah.
And sheetrock's not very heavy, but regardless, I was thinking when I was watching Witchboard, that was a very odd tool that they used. It was like, that thing slips out of your hand, flies backwards, and you're slicing up your buddy or getting a good cut.
Yeah.
But no, that was a real thing, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then the dude that's fucking yells at the kid to go away. So then the kid returns the favor by then just smashing him in the face with a hatchet multiple times. Does he kill the woman? I don't remember.
No.
I think
no,
she runs off. She runs out bare ass.
Naked. Yep.
That's right.
Help.
So then the kid's twin brother is staring at him in shock. So he hands his twin brother the hatchet and smears blood all over him and then yells for his mom and then blames it all on him. This is like the episode of The Simpsons with Hugo.
Yes.
They switched to twins.
That's what I thought immediately. Wait a minute. The scar is on the other side. So which one of them was too crazy for Boys Town and too much of a boy for Crazy Town?
Well, I thought it was Todd, but it wound up being Terry.
Right. So, I don't remember which one was the crazy one. It's Terry, right?
Terry's the crazy one. I'm going to get him mixed up. They really could have given me two further different names, like Terry and Robert.
Right, that would have been so much more helpful.
Terry and Todd is going to get confused.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't understand the plot. Jen had to break it down to me. She was like, no, Terry is the killer. Todd is the one who's in the mental hospital. Well, why? Because Terry pinned it on Todd. Huh? What do you mean? Oh, God. Terry's the killer. What?
We need to find a psychological mystery thriller and then just have Dan watch it and then explain to us who did what.
Someone should really study me, man, because there are movies where I figure it out like instantly. But then movies like this just fly way over my head. I'm just like, what is going on here, guys? I am lost. But then I'll figure out like Inception. You know, like, oh, you know, so-and-so is doing this, blah, blah, blah. Tenet, I'm getting it. It's like these movies that are supposed to be really cerebral. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, I get it. But this movie is just a piece of shit. And I'm lost. I'm like a baby.
The most simple soap opera plot in the planet.
Right.
On the planet.
I'm having Jen break it. She's giving me the play-by-play. All right, so well, now Terry is trying to pretend that he's not a psycho. Oh, yeah, but, why?
But you knew Sixth Sense in the first scene.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we fast forward 10 years to Thanksgiving. As the mom arrives at a mental facility, and we hear Dr. Berman's notes on Todd's story. It's basically a voiceover throughout. I don't know why. It's such a weird touch. Like,
voiceover?
To have the voiceover over the scene. Dr. Berman basically says that Todd is starting to remember the incident from the drive-in and that he is saying that it wasn't him that did it. It was his brother, Terry. So I guess he's been in some sort of shock / comatose state for 10 years and he's just starting to wake up out of it. So.
Did you notice in that scene, Terry and Todd's mother is like having a conniption and the doctor's doing the voiceover and she says, I used my years of training to calm her down and her training is putting her head in her hand and just nodding slowly.
Yeah.
And that calms the mother down. That's it. Yeah. That's all it takes.
Yeah. It's a weirdly put together scene. I don't really understand.
It makes the doctor look as if she's the protagonist.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
It makes me think what they were going for was the doctor doing their audio notes.
Yeah, that's what it's set up like. But I don't know, because you still hear the audio, too, ever so, like probably half volume of the scene that it's playing over. So it's just super odd. And it never comes back. This is the only scene where this happens. I feel like there was probably a too long of a scene that they just had to cut. So they're just like, we'll take that audio because it's important. It's more important than this scene and we'll just throw it over this. But who knows? So the doctor brings Todd in to see his mother, whose name is Maddie. Maddie brings him a pumpkin pie, and Todd gets mad and smashes the pumpkin pie in his hands and then throws it against the wall. My first chuckle at this movie was when he falls off and throws it.
I can't imagine the people in my house, after I told them that I watched a horror movie, with the amount of times that I cackled out loud in my room watching this. And this was the first scene, as you mentioned, where that happened. And I literally had to rewind 10 seconds so that I could see if I missed any dialogue. I was laughing so hard at it. It was such a whole hand in the pie.
Not cake. So he freaks out and then has to be restrained by orderlies. And then the doctor says she suspects it was Terry that murdered that guy and not Todd all along. Cut to Terry playing football with some friends and his girlfriend. And then he hits on another girl right in front of his own girlfriend, who's like the daughter of a neighbor that's back from school, too.
Definitely an alpha male in this movie.
Yeah. Terry's just like, fuck it. I'm just going to flirt with this girl and you're going to just come begging me, who you think is me, but it's actually my brother, begging me to fuck you.
Can you imagine if that's the dialogue that he says? Like, I'm just going to do this and you're going to take it and then you're going to come back to me, but it's not going to be me. Like, that's very specific, Terry. What are you doing?
And then I'm going to say, that's not cranberry sauce, because spoiler alert, it's not cranberry sauce.
He says that line a few times in this movie and it's not good anytime he says it.
Nope. Then we cut to everyone laughing like psychopaths at Thanksgiving dinner. Maddie and her boyfriend announce that they are engaged. Terry drinks milk at dinner, which is disturbing enough. I also hate the way he wears a tie. It's a popped collar and then just a loose tie. And then he...
Never a good look.
No, yeah. It's very douchey.
Yeah. And then he has a little bit of a freak out at the engagement news. Not so much like on the surface, but through the music cues, he kind of was like, oh my God, she's getting married. She's getting married to somebody else.
His eyes tell the whole story.
Yeah. And then sort of low key threatens the boyfriend with a knife, but playfully. And everybody has a good old laugh. And then the phone rings and it's the hospital. And Maddie answers and they tell her that they can't find Todd. So Maddie tells Terry that Todd has escaped and tells him not to tell anyone. And then he immediately tells everyone, my crazy brother just escaped from the loony bin. And he's off.
You wouldn't believe it.
That's me, by the way, when like people at work are just like, hey, you know, there's some big news coming. Don't tell anyone. Oh, hey, you got it. Guys, you'll never guess what's about to happen. Some crazy shit's going down. With things I don't care about, I'm not going to hold it back. And just whatever happens, happens. But you guys can trust me, wink, wink.
Meanwhile, Todd wanders the streets. And after dinner, Maddie goes to bed to relax after a long day. Her boyfriend goes to comfort her, and they make out like a couple of old people. And Terry sees this and has some menacing looks.
Old people. Old people making out. That's what everyone wants to see.
Yep. You come for the horror, you stay for the old people making out.
Hey, listen, they have a love life, too. They're allowed to enjoy life.
Absolutely.
And just be super creepy about it.
Yeah, just go on ourtime.com and can find some people to make out with.
So you pulled that one out pretty quick. I never even heard of that.
And just so, as a side note, if you know, like, if you're guessing what decade this is, it takes place in the 70s, right? 1979,
no.
So I thought. So
the first scene does take place in the 70s, but this is 10 years later.
It's like everything has shag carpeting in it.
Yeah. All these scenes. Yeah. No one's upgraded since the 70s.
Right. That made me think, like, you know, a lot of people say, like, oh, you know, the 90s was a great decade. Like, even the 80s was crazy wild. That was fun. The 60s, all the, like, the free love and all that. Like, no one ever says, like, I wish I lived in the 70s.
Yeah.
The 70s sucked.
Gas shortage and
hostages. Vietnam.
Yeah, it was just, we skipped the Olympics one year, you know. Nothing good.
The 70s was just a decade-long COVID.
Yeah. It's like, no one's ever going to say, man, you know what year I wish I could go back to? 2020. And, you know, 2021 probably, 2022. 2024, though, maybe.
That's our year.
Fingers crossed. We're going to be back.
Oh, God. Don't put that evil on us, man. We need... I'm taking whatever, like, the first vaccine that comes out, hook it into my veins. Let's do this.
The first vaccine is going to turn everyone inside out.
It's worth it. It's worth it. I'll roll those dice.
So the doorbell rings and Todd answers it. Actually, no, it's Terry. See, already made a mistake.
That's our counter.
The doorbell rings and Terry answers it. It's the doctor and some orderly are there, and the orderly pulls a trank gun on Terry, thinking it's Todd. So Maddie's fiance Brad introduces himself, and he's the property manager of the apartment complex. And offers
that confused me
to
a
the
little
doctor.
Bit. Yeah. I was like, is that like a slang term for the like man of the house?
He's a landlord.
I'm the manager.
Literally the property manager.
Yep.
He's the manager of that ass.
He walks out like he's going to start taking charge, but he's just like, well, nothing really happens in this apartment complex, so feel free to just stomp around the grounds. I'll be in my office.
Go into people's backyards. It's fine.
I'll be in my office drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon.
And everyone drinks Pabst in this. That's like the universal beer of choice.
Mm-hmm. Jacksonville beer.
Yeah. It's maybe that's why Terry wants to kill everybody. There's just like no other option.
You don't drink, man.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he doesn't drink. He's straight edge except for the killing.
He's straight edge. This is you always got to look out for the straight edge.
Oh yeah. They're the ones that give you the problem.
Yeah. Like there's people that are 3 weeks into No Nut November right now. Steer clear of those freaks.
Oh yeah. Hey, they're going to do something wild, you know. Yeah. Once we get into December, something's going to happen.
If they're not popping off in their shorts, they're popping off somewhere else. In crowded malls or something like that, although not this year.
Right, so we might be safe. Now's the time.
Yeah. So he tells the doctor, feel free to just stomp around the grounds. And then they go off while he waits in his office. In his office, he cracks a beer and listens to some religious radio broadcasts. Meanwhile, Maddie pops some pills. Brad calls Maddie to calm her down and then hangs up. And then Terry pops in and cuts Brad's hand off with a machete.
Which is that was a good graphic cut as well.
Yeah.
Second cackle.
That was pretty good. I noticed as I was watching this, if you see before he cuts off his hand, you do see a stain on the carpet that looks like they did multiple takes of this.
Right. I like how he spins around in the chair holding the stump.
Yeah.
Just screaming like a madman.
So then Dr. Berman goes stomping through the woods looking for Todd. As Jackie the orderly talks to Todd as if he were there, he's like, come on out, Todd. No, I got some things I got to do. And then Jackie stops to have a toke on someone's back porch, and Terry shows up. So Jackie lets Terry have a drag of his weed, and then Terry tells the doctor, tells Terry that the doctor told him that Todd didn't kill anyone. So Terry runs him through with the machete.
Right in someone's backyard.
Any of these people could. Everybody's got sliding glass. This is Sliding Glass Doors, the movie.
Yeah, and no one's home.
No one's home. I mean, it is Thanksgiving.
It's the prequel to Sliding Doors.
Yeah, Sliding Glass Doors. Dr. Berman goes stomping around the woods some more as Maddie sits on the floor of the kitchen shoveling leftovers into her mouth. And this is a fucking mood.
Yep.
A little bit.
And then Terry finds Dr. Berman in the woods and he accosts her. Meanwhile, Maddie pours herself a nice tall glass of wine as she calls someone. And she'll spend the rest of that runtime basically on the phone.
It's kind of sad and pathetic, but hilarious at the same time.
Yeah, there's a backstory there, man.
She's having an existential crisis.
Like I said, it's a Tennessee Williams play.
It's great. It makes no sense. It serves no purpose, but it's awesome.
Yeah, it's like woman on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, it's great.
So then we cut back to Dr. Berman, and she's been disemboweled in the middle of the woods.
I would have liked to have seen that happen, right?
Yeah, that was the most disappointing part of this movie, was that you don't see that. You do get to see her, like, flailing around in two pieces in the woods, which was kind of, like, wild, just crazy-ass shit. Like, her legs are still kind of kicking.
Oh, that's right. Even in that, when he cuts the hand off of
the hand is still moving, yeah.
Yeah, it's still twitching. It has the beer in it. It lets the beer go. Oh, no, was it a gun? Or
it's
a beer?
It was beer.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. It's very creative with the kills. I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Then Terry goes to clean up, takes a shower, and he says it's not cranberry sauce as he tastes the blood on his shirt. And then he'll say that like four more times. Then Todd shows up at the apartment complex and just kind of looking in windows and everything like that. He's stomping around. This is a lot of stomping around going on in this movie.
But not a whole lot getting done.
No. There's people going from one area to the next. It's like, oh, this person's back porch, and then this person's back porch, and then look, this kind of wooden walkway for some reason.
It's like a little nature trail, I guess. Yeah.
So then Terry shows up at the neighbor's apartment to hang out with the babysitter. He doesn't drink, which is an enormous red flag. And she's ready to fuck, but then Terry just wants to watch some TV.
Yeah, he's no simp. I love it.
Yep. He's just owning his dick, man. He's just like, you can't have this, not yet, until I want it.
It's wild. He's a psychopathic murderer, but he has standards, right? Mm-hmm. He has a girlfriend. He's not cheating. So you kind of give him a little bit of credit where credit's due.
Sure. So then Karen, his girlfriend, shows up at Terry's place, but there's no answer. She goes around the back and gets scared by Todd, who she thinks is Terry, and she tells him that she wants him to fuck her. And then he says, I mean, Todd's an idiot. He just says, I'm Todd, and I've never kissed a girl before. Right. And then she says,
that's nice.
It's like, oh, well, you really should try it. Bye. I think that's her exact words. Is, oh, you really should try it sometime.
Really played it smooth there.
Todd coming on a little strong.
A little bit, yeah.
He didn't really even know.
I'm sure you're going to tell me he didn't hook up while he was in the mental institution. I mean, come on. That stuff happens all the time, no?
I mean, he was in like a comatose state, I think.
Okay, so I'm gonna have to double back and probably say that didn't happen.
I would say probably not. Yeah,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, so she runs away and her two buddies show up and tell them that she tells them that she saw Todd, so they go out to look for them, but he doesn't find them. It's back at the neighbors. The babysitter tries to fuck Terry, but Terry's not having any of it, and then neighbor comes home with Pete Buttigieg, and Terry and the babysitter leave.
I was wondering what you meant by that when you messaged us. Like, oh, it's our second Pete Buttigieg movie. Like, what the hell is he talking about?
He showed up in Toxic Avenger, too.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes. I forgot about that.
So Karen and Terry's buddies come across Terry and tell him that they saw his brother. And they crack jokes about Terry's family, and Terry freaks the fuck out and runs off to find Todd. So then Maddie drinks wine while she vacuums in the bedroom, which, again, mood number two. And Terry comes in and tells her that Todd is around hiding somewhere on the property. Terry also says that he thinks the doctor left. So Maddie tries to call Brad, but there's no answer, obviously because he's dead. Maddie then tells Terry to go find Brad, and then she stops him and says, and please put a sweater on, the blue one.
Yeah, it's super specific. So it's like, this is going to play a part. Like, this is going to be big, if you haven't guessed it.
So Todd finds Dr. Berman's body. And then some random girl is looking for her cat. So Todd tells her to go home. I don't want to go too quickly past Dr. Berman's body. As we mentioned, Todd finds it and then tries to put it back together.
Yeah, it's great. It was a great practical effect, that hole. And just the idea of this crazy person deciding that was what he needed to do there. I was almost hoping that they would or maybe I'm forgetting, and they did cut away with him like sort of laying next to her.
I don't think so. Yeah. It's like trying to put the scarecrow back together after the monkeys try like take out all the stuffing.
The thing that doesn't make sense to me is if he's comatose, why all of a sudden is he like talking? Like, what breaks him out of that state of mind?
Dr. Berman's work. She's been working with him.
Yeah, but he shows no signs of actually coming out at that point.
I'm not sure I follow.
So in the one scene that we have with the doctor and Todd, right, he's throwing cake, he's not talking, and then all of a sudden he just starts talking when he sees her body.
He does talk in that scene, but she also.
I thought he was silent and just throwing stuff around.
No, because she says that, so his mother goes to him, like, we could start being a family again, and he's just like, that doesn't mean anything to me, and that's when he freaks out.
Oh, I thought he was just crazy. No.
Because in that scene, and the voiceover, she's saying that he is starting to come around. He's starting to remember what happened. And then he says that it wasn't him. It was Terry.
Right. Yeah, he's starting to remember the events of that night. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't even know if he was completely comatose, but he is in a state of shock for these past 10 years. So.
Okay. That makes more sense then. All right. So I was just wondering myself, like, all of a sudden he sees a dead body and that's what shakes him out of being comatose?
No. He has talked before this. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because she even says, when he has his breakdown in the hospital, like, the mom is basically undoing 10 years of her work.
Yeah, okay.
And then some random girl is looking for her cat, and then Todd happens upon her, and he tells her to go home and lock the door because it's not safe. Someone's out here. So she does. Back at the neighbor's apartment, Karen, Andrea, and the two doofuses are having a party. Eventually, Andrea, one of the two of the doofuses, go into the bedroom while Karen and the other one play some video games.
Yeah, the explanation that this was shot in 1983 answered a question of mine of why they were playing a game that looked very much like Atari in a time period when, you know, that wouldn't have been around at all.
1987, you wouldn't have been playing Atari. You would have been playing Super Mario Brothers.
Yep.
Meanwhile,
but in 83, they were on the shelf for like $10, so it was easy to get for this movie.
Meanwhile, Pete Buttigieg and the neighbor are drinking together. And the neighbor basically just says, let's fuck, and goes into the bathroom to get more comfortable. Doorbell rings, and Mayor Pete answers it, and it's Terry.
I love how you're going with that.
I don't remember the guy's name. It's easier to just call Mayor Pete. The neighbor comes out in lingerie to find no one in the living room, then hears a knock on the door. She looks through the peephole and sees that it's Mayor Pete, but when she opens the door, it's only his head suspended from the ceiling with an extension cord. She freaks out, the baby starts crying, she goes to grab her coat because she's looking to run out, and then Terry pops up to help her with her coat and menacingly smiles at her. Todd, meanwhile, breaks into his mother's apartment and winds up in his old bedroom, which features a Yoda mask, I noticed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Jen pointed that out. I didn't notice, but he has the Yoda mask. He has something else in there. What is it? It's the gun from the first night. Do you remember that? There's like a BB gun or something like that. I don't know if it plays any significant part, but she noticed it.
And then his mom passes out in the hallway. So Todd picks her up and carries her into bed, and she thinks it's Terry. So Karen and one of the guys finish playing video games, and they hear a scream. They go investigate, and Andrea and the other guy jump out. Andrea wearing some sort of face prosthetic, and the guy with fake blood on him. So rather than fucking, they've put an elaborate makeup job on Andrea, which they happen to have lying around. So Andrea and the guy hang back to go play tennis, as Karen and the other guy plan on going to some party. Then, Maddie has a breakdown while on the phone with the operator. She's trying to get a hold of Brad, who should only be about 100 yards away at most in the office. And then Andrea and Greg go play tennis, drunk, in the middle of the night. And this is our second tennis scene in a horror movie. This one only slightly better than Pieces.
Because they move a little bit.
Yeah.
They only last a few seconds. Yeah,
they don't play like they're professionals, but they play like two people that just said, hey, let's go play some tennis. Not like they were wearing cement shoes.
Right. And they were dressed like... Well, she was dressed for the occasion. Him not so much, right?
Right.
He was wearing, I forget exactly what he's wearing, but I wanted to kind of go back to the mother on the phone.
Yeah.
That whole scene is just essentially one long, ma'am, this is a Wendy's.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you have to believe me. There's something wrong. Like, oh, okay, ma'am, you have the wrong number here.
Yeah. It's Oscar worthy.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
So Terry watches them play tennis, and then Greg tries to fuck Andrea right there on the tennis court, but she says she has a better idea. And then Maddie continues to talk to the operator and has a nervous breakdown right there on the phone, and I guess she never gave the operator the number she wanted. I don't know.
I think she just told the operator to, like, find the guy's number, right? But, like, to find the guy. And, like, well, who's the guy? You're being very...
Yeah.
You're not being specific here. Just find so-and-so. I need him. Okay, yeah. Just I need the number, lady.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. It's like, all right, well, we've been on the phone for 20 minutes. Do you have that number handy yet?
I don't know if this was her ad-libbing or... I doubt it, because that just... It doesn't seem like ad-libbing as much.
I don't know. Maybe, because she is, like, the only, like, actual actor in this movie.
Really?
Surprisingly, yes. So she was on a show called Mary Hartman, as the titular Mary Hartman, which was a Norman Lear produced, like, I believe what I read, it was like a parody of soap operas in like the 60s or the 70s. I think it was the 70s. And she was like on like 300 or something episodes of it. Hmm. It was like, it was a daily kind of soap opera show, but it was like super dark, supposedly. And I think it was just kind of like, sort of like this, just kind of way over the top performance, I think. I've never actually seen it, but this is kind of what I read.
Interesting.
Yeah. So she's the only actual actress or actor in this show, in this movie. No one really went on to do anything else.
It doesn't even really seem that way. She's not very good in this movie.
She's wild. She is, like I said, if everybody else is at 110, she's at 190.
Yeah, she's all over the place. She's chewing scenery. She's having breakdowns. She's in a whole nother universe.
Yeah, it's great. This might be one of my favorite performances we've ever covered.
It's pretty good. I mean, for what we do, yes. This is our Marlon Brando.
Yeah, she is definitely doing a Marlon Brando performance. She is Stanley Kowalski.
Yeah. For sure. It's a rare, unique find.
Although, like, The Streetcar Named Desire, so Blanche DuBois is the one that goes crazy. So this is probably her Blanche performance.
That makes sense. I think you have merit for both, really.
Yeah. So where are we? Meanwhile, Andrea and Greg have decided to fuck on the diving board at the indoor pool. You guys are saying they're not fucking, but, you know.
I know. I think they were.
They were.
I just think they were very bad at it.
Sure. They're in the pre-insertion part of sex.
Yeah. It's happening.
Yeah.
It's insertion is about to.
Yeah. It's like naughty bits are all lined up.
Right, you're just waiting for lift. Like, yeah. You got the countdown going.
Mm-hmm. So they're on the diving board, butt ass naked on top of each other, and then Terry comes in and hacks at them with the machete. Greg gets hit pretty hard and falls into the pool. And Andrea gets hit in the face. And then we cut away. Karen and Artie are stomping around the woods, and they get scared by Terry jumping out at them. Terry tells Artie that someone should go tell Greg and Andrea to get inside, with Todd running around. So Artie gets in his car, and Todd pops up out of the back seat and tells him that Terry's the one going around killing people. Meanwhile, Terry and Karen go back to Terry's place, and Terry's now ready to fuck. The bell rings, and it's Artie, held at gunpoint by Todd. Todd points the gun at Terry and then nervously runs into the night like a goon.
I was hoping that would be the last we saw of him. Like, you're on your own, just hauls ass the other way.
It was just all that build up for nothing.
Right. Which that really would've been great.
Kind of, right? Because, yeah, Todd doesn't do a damn thing in this movie.
Not a damn thing. He just shows up.
Because at the end, we'll get to it, but he points the gun again at Terry,
mm-hmm.
right? And then Karen takes the gun out of his hand and tries to shoot him, but the gun doesn't fire.
Correct.
And then the mom is the one that kills Terry in the end.
His entire story arc is just in action.
Yep. Just being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Right, but he's like purposely putting himself in the wrong place at the wrong time.
It's like everybody's over there. Ah, shit. And I'm over here.
Like, it would have been great if it was like, yeah, you know, he escaped. And like, no, he's definitely coming here. And you just cut to him just riding the rails to like the East Coast or wherever. Like, I'm getting the fuck out of here, man. Starting a new life up north.
It's almost like the new Halloween movie where it's just like, oh, Michael has no interest in Laurie Strode. He's just going around killing people.
Right. Yeah, that would have been so great. He's just, we do, you know, like, I'm going to switch things up a little bit.
Yeah, he's like, I've lived in this for 10 years, lived in this mental institution for 10 years because of what my brother did. Last thing I want to do is go back to that place. Right. I'm going to start a new life.
Right.
It's time I live for me, live in my real truth.
You live in my truth. That's right. Yeah, everyone else can go on without him, right? It's been 10 years. No one gives. My brother hasn't even come to see me. Yeah. Screw him. I don't need him.
I mean, that's like a postscript of what, like, Todd eventually became a best-selling author.
Right. Yeah. He wrote the screenplay for for Blood Rage. So, he pulls a Shawshank. He goes to Mexico and just like, he writes the doctor or something like that.
Yeah.
You've come this far, Doc. Maybe you could go a little further.
Artie. This is a random dude with a thick northeastern accent.
That'd be awesome. I'd watch that movie. I mean, I watch this movie. I'd watch that movie too.
Yeah. So then Terry says that they need to go after Todd. So him and Artie then go stomping around the woods again. They come across a bag of weapons, including a machete. And Terry says that it's not cranberry sauce on that machete. And he says it twice. Then stabs Artie with a barbecue fork.
Pretty good kill.
Yeah, it was not bad. I mean, the kills here are consistently pretty good.
Yeah, good blood.
The only disappointing one is Dr. Berman, because we don't get to see anything. But we do get to see the aftermath, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of bloodshed in this, and that's it's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Do we actually see the neighbor lady that's trying to fuck Mayor Pete? Do we see... We don't really see anything happen with her.
No, because she gets... She gets dressed and she comes out and Mayor Pete is dead.
Yeah. We see her body at the end when Karen's running through the houses.
Yeah. Yeah. She's been impaled.
Yeah.
So Karen, that's as far as we get.
Yeah. So Karen goes looking for Artie and Terry. She finds Terry, who's just brandishing the machete, but he says it's Todd's. And then he tries to hack at Karen with the machete and they both go stomping into the woods. Karen runs into Andrea's house, but no one's there to answer the door. So she hides in a closet while Terry goes looking for her, one in which he had hid the orderly's body in. Meanwhile, Maddie is still on the phone trying to talk to Brad.
I can imagine the person on the other end of the line just like pretending to shoot himself, like doing the like hang me sign. Yeah. Like, oh my God, lady, my shift is done in 10 minutes. Please wrap this up.
So then Karen finds the body of the orderly in the closet and then runs out of the closet and sees Terry treating Artie's body like a puppet. She then goes to another neighbor's house and it's the little girl that was looking for her cat and she won't let her in because Todd told her not to let anybody in. So she winds up in the house of the woman with the baby and the baby's crying and then she sees the body of the woman and somehow Terry pops up into the room. I don't know how he got into this room without like going around Karen, but he's everywhere.
He all of a sudden becomes like super with like a super serial killer.
Yeah. So Karen goes to run outside, but then Todd is at the glass door. So then she goes to call the cops from the bedroom. And then Terry approaches her with a machete. So she hits him in the dick with the phone, grabs the baby, and runs for it. Meanwhile, Maddie finds Terry's bloody shirt in the trash. So Maddie's journey is slow.
Right. Yeah. She's basically the, she's Frodo and Sam in this story. It's very long and treacherous.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, she is having a lot of trouble with the fact that Todd is out.
Yeah, but she does nothing to, like, instead, she just goes crazy, and there's really no reason to go crazy, right? It's like, all right, well, he's out. Well, let's try to find him.
Yeah, and, like, by all accounts, he's been nothing but an upstanding, like, patient.
Right. You know what, like, to make this movie better, we really should have seen how he escaped from the mental institution.
Mm-hmm.
Because just saying he got up and walked out, I mean, that's essentially what I imagine. Like the guard left the door wide open by accident. I go, I'm going to hear about this tomorrow.
I'm going to get so fired. And then that guy pins it on his twin brother.
Right. It's like Dan and Don.
Two orderly twins.
That's the next sitcom that we get to write.
Yep.
Like, well, it was Don's, you know, it was his watch. I was off. I already clocked out.
So Maddie finally goes to Brad's office and after yelling at him for not answering the phone, realizes that he's been dead the whole time. Meanwhile,
such a weird pose.
Yeah. It's like with his head leaning on his stump.
Right. Yeah. He's just, yeah, it looks like he's just like kind of he kind of nodded off instead of being brutally murdered.
So then Karen hides out in the pool with the baby, and then Terry shows up again. So she runs into the bathroom and then just shoves the baby into a cabinet.
And it's never to be seen again, right?
Yep.
Yeah, the baby. We don't know if the baby survives this movie.
She might go and get it after Terry dies.
I don't remember. I just watched this movie.
I think she goes back and gets it. And then the mother shoots herself, right?
At the end. Okay. And wait, so
and then Karen leaves, and I'm pretty sure she leaves with the baby in her arms.
You might be right. I didn't think. I thought she just like left and ran away.
I think she leaves with the baby in her arms.
Okay. I was gonna say that would have been a huge oversight.
So she goes running into the bathroom, and then she opens the door to a steam room, and the bodies of Andrea and Greg are in there, even though they are still, you could still see both actors breathing.
Breathing, very obviously.
And then she hides in a bathroom stall. So Terry comes in, looks into the sauna, makes some joke about those two still, he makes reference that they're fucking in there. Like, oh man.
You two are still here, huh?
Anywhere, you guys, huh?
At least he has a sense of humor.
Yeah. He's like a crazy person's sense of humor, but a sense of humor nonetheless.
Right.
And then he takes piss and then he leaves. Which, like, come on, man. There's like so many places you could hide in this bathroom. Like,
right, of
check
course.
The stall.
I think that's one of those, like, he did it on purpose. Right. I know she's in there. She's a terrible hider, by the way.
Yeah.
She hides behind a desk in plain sight. She hides in the bathroom stall. Everyone hides there, man. You should have hid where you put the baby.
Yeah, that'll get him. I'm in the same.
I had the baby in the stall.
So Maddie grabs a gun and tells Brad's headless body that she's going to make everything all right. Karen tries to make a break for it out of the bathroom, but Terry is there and manages to cut her with the machete. So she runs out and she runs into Todd, who has a gun. Todd can't work up the courage to shoot Terry. So is this the Trank gun that he gets? This is the Trank gun, right?
No, I think it's the gun that the doctor had.
That's Trank gun.
No, she had a second gun.
Oh, she had a second gun.
Yeah, she had the Trank and an actual gun.
Okay, because this gun doesn't fire anyway.
It does not. It's probably, I don't know if it was jammed or it had no bullets in it, But yeah.
Okay. So Todd, once again, can't work up the courage to shoot Terry. So Karen gets the gun from him and pulls the trigger, but the gun doesn't go off. So Terry pushes her aside and attempts to pin the evidence on Todd again. Just his one move he's got. Just wipe my blood, wipe the blood on you and give you the machete.
Right. And no one's going to believe you at this point, man. Now there's witnesses.
Yeah.
And you're not a child.
And then Todd throws the machete in with a no. And then they fight in the pool and Terry gets the better of Todd. Todd almost drowns, but Karen helps him out of the pool. As Terry climbs out of the pool, Maddie shows up and she shoots Terry like 6 or 7 times. And Terry falls back into the pool dead. And she goes over to Todd, telling him that he is the bestest boy and it's just them again. But she thinks she's talking to Terry.
That scene lasts forever.
Yeah.
Her just giving platitudes. You're the best boy ever. I love you so much. It's just going to be us. There's nothing to worry. Like, okay, wrap it up here. We get it.
Yeah. So he tells her he's Todd over and over again. And she freaks out and blows her own brains out.
Both of them just keep repeating, I'm Todd.
Yeah.
I'm Todd. What the hell is going on here?
And then we get a freeze frame ending as we hear sirens. And that is the end of Blood Rage.
Not the best freeze frame ending, by the way.
Not the best freeze frame ending. But an excellent Thanksgiving movie. There's not many of them.
So I was going to say, it's right up there with Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yep. Is Dutch a Thanksgiving movie? You remember Dutch?
Yeah, with Ed O'Neill.
Yeah.
It's around that time. I know that.
Because yeah. That's it's what snowing. I think he's picking up from boarding school to take him home. He's like his stepdad, right?
Correct.
Or his mom's boyfriend, something like that.
Yeah. It's essentially a stepfather scenario.
Yeah.
So. I don't know if it's... I know it's snowing, but I don't remember if it's Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Yeah.
But Dutch is a good movie.
Yeah. I haven't seen that movie in 25 years, probably.
It's been a while. It's been a long time.
But it's Planes, Trains, Automobiles, Dutch, and Blood Rage.
Yeah, so. Is that the Mount Rushmore Thanksgiving movie?
Yep. These are the movies that I really gravitate towards when it comes to, like, shitty horror movies. I kind of love these really bad 80s slashers. There's so many others that I just would love to do. There's one I watched called Final Exam this year.
Okay.
Which is in the same vein.
Mm. Yeah, it's these movies, like, you and I are both horror movie fans. But a lot of the times I won't watch actual scary horror movies. I mean, I enjoy them. I love them just as much as anything else. But to me, the super campy 80s horror movies are just, like, really up my alley.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I always wind up gravitating towards them because I'm like the same thing. Like, I'll watch ever so often, like, because usually for 31 Days of Horror, I am watching movies that I haven't seen before. So right. I've seen all the good ones, really. Well, most of the good ones. There's probably some that I haven't. But I usually, when I'm finding new ones, rather than find like a ghost movie or something like that, I usually wind up going for one of these slasher movies that are either take place on a campus or at a campsite and are just so much fun because it's what I love about them are just it's people that just had barely enough money to make a movie.
Yeah, but that there's something to praise in that and there's something to admire.
It's people getting clever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you stretch the budget, you make the most of what you can. And it's people trying, people like really giving their all. And sometimes, like most of the time, it's hilarious results.
Yeah, this is a good one. What would you do to make this movie better?
Like I said, I think it would have been cool to see how he escapes from the mental institution. I feel as if he just kind of, the door was open and he looked both ways and kind of, you know, whistled while he was walking out of there, you know. That would have been cool to see. I also would have liked to have just with Terry, just he pusses out and just hightails it away from there. You're on your own.
Yeah.
But I like the quote unquote twist ending. It's so bad, but I like it. It's just, I don't know what it is about it that I enjoy. I guess just the fact that a mother wanted to kill her one child. There's just something about that you don't see much anymore.
Yeah, and then she's so upset that the wrong child died that she blows her own brains out.
Right, yeah, that's... Man, like, she must have really hated you, kid.
It's a pretty fucked up ending.
Yeah, it's... Again, it's very... This movie is very unique. Yeah. It's a lot of things. I mean, it's not good, but it's very unique.
Yeah. Mark, what about you? What would you do to make this better?
Yes, essentially, the only thing I would do is maybe make it a little more, I guess the word would be populated, I guess, to where, you know, there were some more people around or some more close calls where Terry, you know, almost got caught, you know, after like walking out of the property manager's thing, like people walk by, mm-hmm. like just some extras, not even sure. like to extend the movie, you know, just sort of like a after he kills someone, like almost get caught sort of thing. That's really all I would change. The campiness and all, like you were saying, you know, is perfect. There's not much to do with that. The plot's so simple, you can just keep that. But just maybe have a maybe I'm looking for a couple more comedy bits, you know, of sort of like a whoops, oh, knife behind my back, you know. How you doing, sir?
Yeah. That is interesting. It's they got like the Marvel thing where it's like every fight takes place in an abandoned something, right?
Yeah, right.
so it's like this is a abandoned apartment complex except for a handful of people.
Exactly.
You have to minimize collateral damage.
Yeah. And minimize those payments to talent.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do to make this movie better. I mean, it's really not what this movie is about. I love this. This movie is so wild. It's a lot of fun. It's why I love horror movies. These little gems.
It's definitely fun. If yeah. like I said, it's many things. It's unique. It's fun. It's different.
Mhm. So
little
if you
yellow different.
If you're looking for a movie to watch today for Thanksgiving, bring the family around. Or 6 feet apart though. Wear a mask if you can't be that far apart and watch Blood Rage because it's family fun.
Yeah. This is the type of movie you want to watch with family in 2020.
Yep.
It's like everything's shit. Let's just throw caution to the wind here and watch this movie.
Yeah, let's watch Louise Lasser really just go for it.
Okay. Yeah, the only thing that would be added to my Thanksgiving celebration is the mask, because we all stay 6 feet apart all the time anyway.
Oh, there you go.
All right. Do you guys have anything else you wanted to add to this? I feel like we said all we could about Blood Rage.
I've said my part with this.
Mark?
Yeah, this is, as you know, going through 31 Days of Horror and all that, or when we do these movies, that I go for more of these, you know, laughable, you know, sort of not so much trying too hard movies, very simple practical effects. So this movie was definitely a treat to watch, especially after the bore fest of the last two movies we watched were. So I was pretty glad to at least have some fun while watching a movie here. You know, despite the fact that League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is not a terrible movie, but it did make me cackle at least 4 or 5 times and make me have to rewind scenes like this movie did.
Yeah. Yep. All right. You guys want to plug your shit?
Yeah. At DeAquino122 on Twitter. Also, Stranger Damies on Twitter and Instagram is at Stranger Damies. We were kind of kicking around the idea of maybe doing a giveaway at 1,500 followers. We're at 1,333 as of this recording. So we're getting there. Don't know what we're going to give away just yet, but, you know, it's free swag, man. So who could say no to that?
Yeah, exactly. So we have our other podcast, Stranger Damies, airs every Wednesday. You can search for it at Stranger Damies. Find it on Instagram and Twitter at Stranger Damies. And yeah, we have our video game podcast, the Game Vault Pod. It airs every other Monday. We will have an episode, not this Monday coming up, but the Monday after. Probably, I think, first week in December, or the first Monday in December should be our next episode. So feel free to find us Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere. At Game Vault Pod, and then we stream you know as well over at twitch.tv/Game Vault Pod Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays or Saturdays, and Sunday, and then every other Monday. So just be on the lookout for that. Just follow us on Twitter if you need that schedule. Most important thing we're still doing is until the end of the year, we're still doing our Extra Life campaign. You can donate at tinyurl.com/extralife, the number 5. We're still striving towards a few goals. We're going to have our big drive. If you were watching yesterday, we did our big drive, so I don't really want to mark what numbers we're at in case we did get any extra donations, since this is recorded a little bit in advance. We will have other things coming up, but you got until December 31st, 2020 to donate to the cause, raising money for the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And you can, once again, tinyurl.com/extralife, the number 5.
Okay, thank you. And this is They Call This a Movie. You can find us at theycallthisamovie.podbean.com and on all socials or at all. I'm going to start that one over. And this is They Call This a Movie. You can find us at theycallthisamovie.podbean.com and wherever you find your podcast just by searching They Call This a Movie. We're themaindamey.com and we can be found at themaindamey.com and wherever you... Oh my God. Wow. I usually have this just kind of rolling. We're themaindamey.com and you can find us at all socials at themaindamey. So that's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, just by searching themaindamey and we will be there. We're also proud members of Geek Vibes Nation. You can find them at gvnation.com and wherever you get your podcasts and on all socials just by searching Geek Vibes Nation. Bunch of great shows on there. There's Scene and Nerd, Top 10 with Tia, Gutting the Sacred Cow, Geek Vibes Live. If you're interested in geek stuff, you surely can find a show that's right for you. If you have time, please go on to Apple, iTunes, or wherever you do your podcast listening. Give us a 5-star rating. Give us a review would be even better. Tell us we're great. Tell us we suck. But as long as you give us 5 stars. I am at AntDelVec on Twitter. You can reach me there. But we are active at the main Damie on Twitter, very much so. If you have any questions or comments, do you want to suggest a movie to us? TheMainDamie@gmail.com is our Gmail. And that's going to wrap it up. I want to say I hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving if you are in the U.S. celebrating that. If not, if you're not in the U.S., well, then happy Thursday to you. But stay safe, wear a mask, and keep the exposure to a limit. But that's going to wrap it up. The director of Blood Rage was John Grismer. For Dan Aquino and Mark Myers, this is Anthony DelVecchio telling John Grismer, well, you certainly made a movie, didn't you?